When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two here of Game Time Decisions. Our thanks once again to Joe Madden. We expect to be joined here shortly by Sports Grid's lead basketball analyst, the man who, of course, heads up the Betting Above the Rim podcast. That is head coach James Young, the coach. He will join us coming up in a little bit, getting to much more NBA talk. It's going to be a lot of hoops talk here throughout this next half hour or so. We'll have Andrew O'Connor Watts join us a little bit later on in the program as well. So we were chatting about earlier the fact that, you know, these road teams just been such dominance from the road here in this second round, road dogs as well. It's not like, you know, we were just talking about Carolina and Washington and the fact that the Hurricanes, you know, yeah, they're the road team, but also the favored team. Not the case in any of these instances here in the NBA. It's all been considerable road dogs and oftentimes double digit road dogs. The Celtics, of course, dropping a couple of games at home to the New York Knicks and now have to go back to Madison Square Garden coming up on Saturday afternoon for game three of that series. You have the Indiana Pacers, who I think have just been so impressive in this couple matchups, these first two games here against the Cleveland Cavaliers, won a pair of games in Cleveland, and another instance where you saw a Cavaliers team in game one of that series blow a 20-point lead. So it seems to be a theme in today's NBA, it feels like. But the Pacers now heading back to Indiana with that lead, and the Cavaliers in a lot of trouble, given all of the injury issues they are dealing with as well. And, of course, we see the split between Denver and OKC after that just slashing, the throttling out of the Thunder at home last night, as a lot of people thought might happen. And the team that is trying to avoid 0-2 tonight, that's the Minnesota Timberwolves at home, who are 10.5, 11-point favorites against the Golden State Warriors, who, we cannot say that it's enough, do not have Steph Curry, likely for the rest of the series with the hamstring issue. So is there a better investment, quite frankly, on today's docket than Minnesota, whether it's first quarter spread, halftime spread, full game spread? Is there any way that the Timberwolves tonight have trouble with Golden State? Let's explore with the coach, JY, James Young, who, again, lead basketball analyst here at Sports Grid, and, of course, host the Betting Above the Rim podcast, and a guy who can't get out of my Twitter DMs every time the Knicks beat the Celtics. But we'll put that off. We'll get to that, JY. What do you expect from this game tonight? Because to me, this is a 15-20-point win out of Minnesota.
Yeah, and Adam, it's great to be on with you, as always. If I'm Minnesota, I don't play with my food. I just heard what you were saying before you brought me on. I love Minnesota minus 3.5 points in the first quarter. The one thing you want to do is you want to impose your will, especially the way that Anthony Edwards played, right? 1 point in the first half. I expect an uber-aggressive team that really comes out and tries to jump Golden State early. Worried about maybe a backdoor cover, even though I do think you're right. I think it could be a 15-point game. I just want to cash out my money early. Give me the Minnesota Timberwolves minus 3.5 points in the first quarter.
Makes a lot of sense. When it comes to the prop market, though, and you mentioned Anthony Edwards, and I'm with you. I mean, the guy took, what, 23 shots in game one, but he missed his first 10. Did manage to get over 20 points, but it was, you know, kind of a too little too late situation there for the Timberwolves, unless, of course, you were invested in, you know, maybe some ant builders, then, you know, you potentially got there. But on the Golden State side, what was really interesting was Steph goes down in the second quarter. He had gotten off to a, you know, at least by his standards here at age 37, a blistering start, obviously. It looked like he was on his way to a monster game at 13 points early, leaves with the injury, and then for the second straight game, it becomes the Buddy Hield show. You know, he went nuclear against the Rockets to help clinch that series, and he had himself a great game one here in this one, in a game that the Warriors really never struggled, never relented all that much. Is it healed again? Does Jimmy Butler step up? Because he wasn't all that great offensively. Is it a role player, like a true role player, like a Jonathan Kuminga? Where does the offense come from?
Do you read my mind? Like, because you already said, like, one of my bets was a 3.5 in first quarter. And now you just mentioned my Golden State prop, and that's Jonathan Kuminga over 7.5 points. When you really think about it, is you got to got a guy that can actually create his own shot. How many guys on Golden State can actually create a shot if Steph isn't playing, right? Really no one except for maybe Kuminga. Points prop is at 7.5 points for Jonathan. I know he's been, like, I don't know if you want to call him in and out of the doghouse, but even in the playoffs, in 16 minutes of action, he's averaged 5.8 points per game. He's going to get 20-plus minutes tonight because they're going to need him. During the regular season versus Minnesota, he averaged 14.7 points per game in 30 minutes. This is a matchup they want to exploit. Look at Jonathan Kuminga, over 7.5 points. And you mentioned Ant. I'm going with Ant. I'm going over 3.5 made threes. Before last game, he hit it the last five. I think he comes out like gangbusters. AK, I wouldn't be surprised if Ant has two threes by the end of the first quarter, if not three. I think it's a monster game. So I'm going to go with the three-point prop, hope to get and cash out early.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I'm looking at his, you know, I just can't believe that he only took 5 3-point attempts in the last game. And maybe it's, you know, spending too much time watching, you know, the series that I know we'll get to between the Celtics and Knicks, where three-pointers are just flying like crazy. But the Timberwolves here in this game, maybe this was a situation where they actually did adjust, and we should to some degree credit them for that. And they had a better second half, obviously, than they did a first half. But Ant, who, it's like, he's no stranger to throwing up 14 three-point attempts in a game. Again, he goes 1 of 5. The Timberwolves as a team, they only shot 17% from long distance, coach. They went 5 of 29. It's like they said, all right, it's not working for us. We got to try something else. And you know, Naz Reid obviously was really good in this one. Julius Randle, I think by his offensive standards, was capable. It was more just, you know, that you got not enough out of Ant, quite frankly, because I think another bet we haven't mentioned that I think is worth considering. I wouldn't play the full game total in this one, but Golden State had 99 points in this game. You can go under their team total 95.5. I think they were lucky to get to 99. I would go under that. I regardless of whether you think the Timberwolves cover the spread, I think we got to look to a lower output game out of the Warriors.
And if you think that that's going to happen, then you got to, and we think they're going to be better offensively out of Minnesota, then that's where you look at the point spread, right? You look at the fact of even a full game, that they should be able to have their way with this team. And you talk about Ant, kind of reminds you a little bit of when the Lakers series, even when he did not shoot the ball well, 9, 8, 10, 10, 11, 3-4 attempts. This guy's not going to get up 5 attempts. He may have 5 attempts at the end of the first quarter, right? So I do like that. I do think this will be, listen, I know a lot of people are like, oh, can he win a series? This is going to be, here's what I think. I think they're going to be up 2-1, and I think they're going to try and force Steph back early, and it's going to cost them dearly. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a gentleman's sweep, and they take the next 4 straight.
Coach, we've got about a minute. You want me to wedge in a little Celtics-Knicks, or do you want to get into it in another segment? I'll leave that up to you.
Next segment. I just got talked into it by Sammy. I got dinner plan. I'm not going to. I love our producer, Sammy Yarnell. But there's one thing that we will never, ever do at this point of the year, and that's talk Washington Wizards playoffs. He's in my ear. You're calling me a hater, and I'm letting you know, folks, the only chance we're talking about the Wizards is if they win the lottery. And if they won the lottery, they probably messed that one up too.
No, what he means to say is the only way we'll talk about the Wizards is if some of their players show up at a Nationals game or a Capitals game. That's the only reason to even mention those guys here in the month of May. He sounds so depressed telling us to go to break. We're going to do that. More with JY on the other side. I'll be the depressed one. We'll talk about Celtics next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. GameTime is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their game time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
There are so many narratives surrounding the Celtics and the Knicks through two games. Really, it has been the case since before the series, and now it is just Knicks fans bing-bonging all over the place and laughing their butts off against the Celtics and their bravado, their arrogance, certainly that of the fans going into the series, not taking New York seriously. And you know what? Hand up. I'm one of them. And yet, Coach James Young, the Vegas odds still favor the Celtics. Down 0-2 in this series, having to go on the road as favorites to win this series. Marginally, but favorites. Minus 112 on FanDuel, New York minus 104. Does it make sense to you? Do you believe the Celtics come back and win?
Well, I think they have to adjust their approach, right? It's amazing, like, when you watch that game and you watch particularly Jason Tatum, there is a Jason Tatum that frustrates to me as a coach, and should frustrate Celtic fans, where I'm like, he just plays too damn pretty. But then there's a Jason Tatum with about 40 seconds left, full speed, crossover, split, you know, the screen, boom, dunk it. And I'm like, he done figured it out. And I think that's the problem with Boston. Number two, I don't think people understand the importance that Porzingis plays for that team, right? As that stretch five, as that guy that you could run your offense through, the one that gives people like Mitchell Robinson fits. The other thing is when you are that good, and it's kind of like what happened with OKC, right? When you're that good and you blow teams out all year, when you get to a tight spot, like, and you're at home, you start to feel it. And it's amazing. I heard someone talk about this earlier today, and I thought they were right. It may have been Greeny. When the Celtics missed threes last night, you heard like, oh. Like, it's almost like the fans didn't do anything to help them because they started panicking before the Celtics panicked. Do I still think this is a series? Yes. Can Boston go rip off four straight? Yes, I mean, I already cast my ticket. I took the Knicks plus 2.5 games, so I'm sitting on house money right now with New York. But it's going to be interesting because I want to say this. The Garden will be the loudest it's been in this century come Game 3. Because this will be the first time that the Knicks, you got to remember, last time they were in this spot, second round, they played Miami. Right, but, you know, take all the other series, right? Go back to the last era with Carmelo. When they played Miami, they were down 3-0, 2-0 coming home. They're up 2-0. That place is going to be inebriated. Like, I'm scared for people going to that game. And I thought about it until I realized that I have to do about 45 sports grid segments for me to have a chance to even get a ticket. So it's going to be a great series, Adam. I think this goes at least 6. I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe the Knicks, if the Knicks win the series, they're going to have to get it in six. I don't think they can win game seven in Boston. I'm not going to buy that. So the Knicks, you play for at least a split, 3-1, heading back to Boston for a game five.
That in mind for game three, 5.5-point spread. Celtics are the favorites in this one. What's the right way to play that?
I think you play under, because I think the Boston's going to bring it. But then it's like, and that's the tough part, because as bad as Boston's been from three, New York's worst offensive rating for a game all season was game two. So they haven't been good either. So you got to think about this, like, is it going to be tight, both teams, and go under? Or do we have, like, honestly, like a 125-119 game and everybody gets up and down the floor? It's going to be interesting. I think it's a live play with the total. I got to see how it starts. The games have started relatively slow. I wouldn't be shocked if they try to open up, particularly Boston, maybe play in transition a little bit, and look to Drew Holiday. Everybody's talking about all the guys that are not playing well. Drew's been the best Celtic overall, because I think he's given Brunson fits and he's scored enough in these two games. If I was a Celtics fan, that's the guy I've been the most happiest with, Drew Holiday, which is weird because he missed the last couple of games before the series even started.
I was a big fan of the Pacers going into this series against the Cavaliers, and I am that much more impressed with what we've seen so far, obviously taking a pair of games in Cleveland. Now they go home as plus money dogs on the money line here, 2.5-point spread in this one, but Indiana plus 125 if you want to invest in them there. The Cavaliers, they still have their injuries. We don't know if we're going to see Mobley, Hunter, Garland, you know, so they're still up against it. You know, you could argue Indiana was lucky to take the last one on that buzzer beater from Halliburton. That's fine. 2-0 is 2-0. So where do we go here? Does Cleveland go into Indiana and take this pseudo must-win game three?
I think I'm looking at over, because I just think this game's a Indiana's going to play this way. This is just the way they do it. So the over is going to be the play here. The interesting thing is this. You're looking at the injuries, right? Mobley, obviously, DeAndre Hunter. I'm looking at Darius Garland and be like you can't even, like, try and warm up? Like, you can't give this a go? And this is a Cleveland team that going into the playoffs, everybody was like, but we need to see it in the playoffs. Like, we need to see it now. And I'm not counting the Miami Heat series, because the Heat folded like a cheap suit. Like, they just quit, like, first quarter of game number three. Indiana smells blood, but Indiana's been lucky, right? Last year, this year, Milwaukee injuries, Knicks injuries, then Halliburton gets done, and then they crash out. They benefited again from the injury bug here, but I'll tell you this much. Whoever wins that Boston-Knicks series, I am supremely confident will go to the NBA Finals. I think neither one of these teams can play. Cleveland injuries and Indiana will not be able to play enough defense against either team, which Boston and New York both can score.
It's funny. That's how I feel in the West about OKC-Denver. Whoever wins that series moves on to the NBA Finals. But I'm not sure I'm with you in the East there. I've got a little bit more respect for the Pacers than you do. But that's going to depend, obviously, in large part on what happens between Boston and New York. I know.
Reggie Miller,
that's what
Dale it is.
See, now
Davis,
the bias
Larry
comes
Brown.
Out. Now
don't
the bias
don't
comes
don't
out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Our thanks to Coach James Young. Get him on Twitter at Coach Young NJ. Of course, Sports Grid's lead basketball analyst, hosts the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Always enjoy chat with him. And we'll see if some of his proclamations come to light, come true in the coming days. But let's keep the conversation going here in the NBA. Welcome in our next guest. That is Andrew O'Connor Watts. He is one half of the Rhythm Coast to Coast show, NBA Hoops Talk, of course, with Joe Delera over there. And we love having Andrew on. You can get him on Twitter at NBA Watts. Andrew, how you doing, man?
Doing well, Adam. Good to be on.
So this game tonight, let's start with the lone game, which is, you know, it's just a reminder that the season is truly trickling down. You know, we've been spoiled, I guess, having a couple of games staggered most nights now in this second round. Not the case tonight. Just the one game doesn't start for about an hour between the Timberwolves and Warriors. And the thing that I just keep preaching and coach on last couple segments, I don't think he really disagreed, is that I don't think we're going to get much of a game. I don't know that it's going to look like Thunder Nuggets last night, but I think this is a good response game out of the Timberwolves. I think they cover the 10.5, 11 points. Coach was a big proponent of, you know, not playing with your food early, investing in maybe -3.5 for the first quarter there for the Timberwolves. What kind of bounce back do you see from the Timberwolves, or do you want to make the case for the Warriors?
I'm going to make the case for the Warriors, Adam. I'm glad y'all are on the other side. I always like being a little contrarian on these shows. I like 11 with the Warriors. I think it's 10.5 now. That works too. I think, you know, this is the type of spot that I look to back a team like the Warriors, especially constructed with guys like Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green. With Steph Curry out of the lineup, I think these guys are going to step up. I think you're going to see guys like Brandon Podziemski take on a larger role in the offense. I don't think there's going to be much offense, to be fair. But I think this is going to be a defensive slog. I mean, we saw it last game as well, 99-88, I believe the final score was. We've got a 202 total tonight, so the odds makers don't expect much scoring either. But I think as much as that, you know, you could argue that favors the Wolves, I think without Steph Curry, that actually favors the Warriors, because we know how much Steph contributes to the offense, but when he's out of there, you know, their defense improves pretty drastically. So I think this is a good opportunity for, like I said, guys like Jimmy Butler, Brandon Podziemski to step up and kind of fill the void offensively to that Steph is leaving here. We also have, like, you know, this situation, maybe the Wolves, even though they lost, they could be a little bit, you know, flat-footed as a result of not playing with Steph Curry. Now, he was out, you know, halfway through last game, so maybe they'll come out okay. I do think if you like Wolves, I prefer the first half, but I'm on full game Warriors plus 10.5.
So if that's where you're going to invest, you know, you mentioned some of the names in terms of where the production comes from, and Jimmy Butler's just a guy that I get it. Like, intuitively, you should look at him and say, all right, well, there's no Steph Curry. Jimmy's going to have to step up and be the guy. And you look back at game one, shot volume was there. I mean, he took 20 shots, just he still only landed at 20 points in this one. And you know, we've got a points prop tonight of, I think it's 23.5. So you're looking for a relatively sizable game out of Butler. I guess the question is, in terms of value or maybe opportunity with what we've seen in the last couple of games, do we go right back to Buddy Hield? You know, Hield is still, despite coming off of a 24-point game, led the Warriors in scoring, you know, 7 of 19. So, again, he was firing away, including 8 from distance, got himself to the free throw line, had 5 attempts there. 14.5, 15 points is what we're looking for out of Hield tonight.
I think if you're going to go with Hield, I kind of like the threes angle a little bit better because, you know, teams like this without their best player, you know, the Warriors know that they're at an offensive disadvantage. So I think the way that they counter that is by cranking up the variance, right? So taking a massive amount of threes with guys like Hield, who's a sharp shooter. Again, I mentioned Brandon Podziemski. I think these guys are going to be in positions to hit three-point shots. I think Buddy Hield could have a great game. I do kind of lean towards the threes, though, if I am going to pick one of those angles.
We've got Andrew O'Connor Watts hanging out with us, talking through the NBA again. This is just the one game tonight. The T-Wolves playing host to the Warriors as sizable favorites. You've heard both sides of the coin here for this game, but what about some of these other series? We will dive in more with AOW on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back with Andrew O'Connor Watts here talking through all things NBA. We're just giving you a preview of the T-Wolves and the Warriors tonight. That game less than an hour away. How about these other series? And look, I'm admittedly a little sensitive to my Boston bias. This guy, Kaufman, wants to talk about the Celtics again. But truly, I mean, find me a bigger story in the NBA than the Celtics and the Knicks, and Boston dropping two games at home, each time with a 20-point lead, falling down 0-2 in this series, the defending champs now having to go to the Mecca, having to go to New York to face off with the Knicks in what will be a rocking Madison Square Garden on a Saturday afternoon with everybody lubed up there on the sidelines and in those stands. And even still, we see the Celtics as narrow favorites to come back and win this series. Andrew, I just think this, what it comes down to in terms of sort of the narratives, are most people, like even the most ardent of Knicks fans, really didn't expect a series. Like maybe it would go six. Now for Boston to win, it has to go at least six. What do you make of what we've seen versus what you expect to go going forward?
Well, speaking as an ardent Knicks fan, I can tell you that I did not expect it to go this way at all. I did think that the odds makers were being a little bit disrespectful in that series price. I mean, I think it was it got up to plus 610 at one point, which is just, I don't know. To me, that was just wrong given the injuries on the Boston side. Porzingis, I don't know what devil magic he got involved with that he's been sick for like 3 months or something. I don't know what his deal is, but he hasn't been right for a couple months now. We saw Drew Holiday miss a couple of games. Tatum kind of chalked it up to them playing Orlando, but I think just based on that injury uncertainty, the line was off. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I bet that line, but, I do think that we kind of collectively underestimated the Knicks in a way that we probably shouldn't have, myself included. I've been on Boston a couple ways, even since that game one. I bet them that game one, that game two and series parlay that you see at a lot of these books. And then I had to live hedge with Knicks money line once I saw that comeback coming. But it's kind of one of those things where this Boston team has blown leads like this before. You know, we kind of thought they got it out of their system, but we have seen them play with their food many, many times. It's not crazy to think in hindsight that this is where we are, but it certainly was not something that I expected to see.
Meanwhile, Thunder and Nuggets, I had the thing completely wrong. So last night I thought the Celtics were going to be the team that covers, and I thought the Nuggets were, a good look with the points. Instead, it went the other way. Obviously, the Knicks win outright as massive dogs, and the Thunder just curb stomped Denver. Nikola Jokic, poor game out of him by his standards, and fouls out in the third quarter. Which one, I guess, game one that Denver keeps close the whole way and narrowly wins versus the blowout win for OKC in game two, which one is closer to reality if we're trying to handicap what's now a best of five?
I think it's got to be game one. Jokic and the Nuggets Jokic is an excellent player. He's the best player in the world, in my opinion. Shea, excellent as well. But there's something about, the way that Jokic plays is extremely hard to scheme against. He always makes the right play, whether it's a pass, shot, whatever it may be. And OKC, specifically with their personnel, they are not super hefty in the front court, right? Hartenstein is, as good of a Jokic defender as you're going to get. But beyond that, you're looking at Chet Holmgren. He's a good off-ball shot blocker, but not someone that can bang with Jokic in the paint. I mean, and then we're looking at Jalen Williams or Kenrich Williams kind of backing them up. And I just don't think there's much to kind of deal with Jokic. So I do think that we're closer to that game one. I think game two, OKC just came out, blew their doors off. I think, I expected them to respond, but I certainly didn't expect them to respond that heavily. I think we could see Denver kind of with a response of their own, at least in the first half. I'm kind of eyeing their first half line. There's a couple trends I like with, you know, favorites off a loss, or teams off, you know, home teams off a loss, pardon me.
Yeah.
Teams off a double digit loss, a lot of trends to like Denver early tomorrow. But I do think OKC is a great team. I think it's going to be a deep series, though. I think we could look at an over in games potentially.
Pacers Cavaliers is interesting to me. I was high on Indiana going into the series, thinking they at least had a chance to win. I thought they were very live to win this series as dogs. You know, there's just something, I've been saying it all throughout the year, there's something about this Cavaliers team I just don't trust. Like, they feel like another one of those NBA teams that, you know, win 60 plus games in the regular season, and then it gets to, you know, not cutting time in the playoffs, and they're not up for it. Now, that's not totally fair, because at the moment, three of their top, what, 6-7 players in the rotation are either unavailable or not close to 100%. So it's really all on Donovan Mitchell at this point in time. Going back to Indiana, again, the Cavaliers, the team that dropped a couple games at home down 0-2 in this particular series. I feel like this series is over. It's only a matter of how long it takes Indy to win. Do you see it the same way, or do you give Cleveland a better shot than I do?
I think it's, maybe I'm not breaking any news here, but I think it's massively dependent on the injury situation of the Cavaliers players. Like, I think one of the reasons they were such an excellent regular season team was the leap that Evan Mobley made, and maybe to a lesser extent, the leap that Darius Garland made. But more specifically, as a whole, the roster, the offensive scheme, and with Mitchell playing a little more off ball, allowing the ball to be in Garland's hands more often. I think that the four-man combo of Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, and Jared Allen, was such a dominant combination of players. You could take any three of those guys, and the offense and the defensive rating stayed pretty much pat with where they were at when all four were in there. So I do think that having that flexibility of at least three of those four guys is really important. So I will be looking to get back in on the Cavs, but I absolutely need to know that at least Mobley or at least Garland is in there, preferably Mobley. And there's just, I don't have a read on the injury situation really to know. I mean, there are all three of those guys are questionable, Garland, Mobley, and Hunter. So until I hear definitively one way or the other, I'm fine with losing a little bit on the, you know, the price move once we hear that information, but I probably will be looking to reinvest in the Cavaliers once I do hear something about the injury situation.
Andrew, I'll just tell you how I see things. I obviously hope Boston comes back and wins this series, but if that does not happen, I actually like Indiana to represent the East in the NBA Finals. For me, it's either Denver or OKC to come out of the West, you know, all due respect to Minnesota and Golden State. And at that point in time, you know, especially if it is, you know, anyone other than Boston, I think the West wins the championship. And I say all of that for this reason. I'm looking at FanDuel odds to win the finals. And 16-1 for Denver in what's now a 1-1 series, and I expect the Nuggets to obviously continue to put up a fight. Is there a better value opportunity out there that exists for you?
I think Denver at 16-1 is a good look. We know they've done it before. If they happen to get past the Thunder, I think it's going to be tough for anyone else to match up with them the way that they're playing.
Andrew O'Connor Watts, again, he hosts the Coast to Coast show, part of Rhythm. Check him out on Twitter at NBA Watts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of great stuff out of Andrew O'Connor Watts, and before that, James Young, talking all through the NBA postseason, looking for bets tonight for this Timberwolves and Warriors game and other opportunities in terms of series betting, even championship betting. But I said if we had time today, we'd mix in some golf talk, and I'll tell you what, there's no one that I would rather chat about the links with than my partner on the weekends. Brady Cannon joins us here. Of course, get him on Twitter, at Las Vegas Golfer. Brady, it is not often that I get the opportunity to refer to the Philly Cricket Club and talk about the truest championship, but here we are, the event with the $20 million purse and one round in the books and a crowded field at the top. Keith Mitchell is the one-stroke leader at 9-under on Denny McCarthy, and behind him, you got a handful of guys, Ricky Fowler, Sepp Straka, Colin Morikawa, and Akshay Bhatia, all checking in 2 strokes off the lead. What do you like so far?
Well, you forgot one part of the equation there, and that's the Wissahickon course, the Philadelphia Cricket Club, the Wissahickon course, the truest championship. all familiar territory for us golf fans, right? No, this is certainly new territory on the PGA Tour. But the reasoning here is, first of all, the typical sponsor, Wells Fargo, is no longer a sponsor. In steps Truist, another bank company in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Now, normally we would be playing the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow Club, but Quail Hollow is going to host the PGA Championship next week. So we're with a new sponsor and a new course in the Philadelphia area, an A.W. Tillinghast design, a classic track. I was really excited to see this thing. But the guys have been tearing it up. You mentioned Keith Mitchell, 9-under par, shoots a 61. And a lot of this has to do with the weather that has infiltrated the area. It was wet earlier in the week. We're supposed to get some rain overnight tonight into tomorrow. So I don't expect a lot of the scoring to change. On Saturday, we are expecting some high winds in the neighborhood of 15 to 20, maybe 25 miles an hour. So I'd kind of like to see Mother Nature fight back here and give this, allow this golf course to shine a little bit, because I really do think it is a beauty of a course. But, you know, when you soften up a golf course with rain, it really doesn't matter. These guys can tear apart just about anything. Mitchell, you know, oddly enough, has started off great in the last handful of events or so, but he hasn't been able to hang on. We'll see if he can come through this week.
I love when Brady turns weatherman on us, but there was a great breakdown, obviously, of what is happening there in the East. But Denny McCarthy, despite having the lead, again, it's a very narrow lead, not the favorite as it stands right now to win the event. I'm looking at the FanDuel odds. He is third on the board at 8-1. Above him, Colin Morikawa at plus 600 and Rory McIlroy at plus 750. Of course, the recent Masters winner, as we know. Do these odds make sense to you? Is Morikawa the guy to back? Is there someone a little bit further down the board you think is a better investment in terms of value?
You know what? Actually, all three of those guys would not make my list. Morikawa, Rory, and McCarthy. You know, you're always paying a premium for Rory. He's really got to be off the pace or coming, you know, out of left field before you get a good price on him. And that doesn't mean it's always a bad bet, but I really don't want any part of Rory right now. Let's wait until after the PGA Championship and maybe some of that Masters and Grand Slam wears off a little bit. I just don't really want to back a guy that has, you know, reached that type of pedestal and now trying to win a second major in a row. I don't really see that happening. Morikawa, again, he's the big name at the top of the board, but strokes gained off the tees, 43rd in this field. Remember, there's only 72 guys here, and after one round, he has not been good off the tee, ranking 43rd, but his putting has been lights out. He's 7th in this field right now for putting, and that's not always a good sign, you know, because a hot putter can go cold very quickly. McCarthy, the same thing. Now, McCarthy, you could argue, is the very best putter in the world, so not surprising to see him ranked number one in strokes gained putting for this event, but again, 40th on approach and 19th in greens in regulation. So that tells me he's a little shaky with the irons right now. I'm looking at, you know, you mentioned Akshay Bhatia, 6th in strokes gained approach, and 28th in putting. So he's a great putter. So the putting could certainly improve. We kind of expect it to. The iron play is already great, and he's at 22-1. Straka, a very similar formula there. The irons are firing. The putter's been pretty good, and you can get him at 14. And then this was an interesting one. I saw my friend Justin Ray on Twitter point out. He's always got great trends and stats. Patrick Cantlay is a guy I'm on this week at 21-1. You can get him at 18. He is currently four shots off the pace. He has the highest birdie average on tour the last 4 years when you play courses that measure less than 7,200 yards. Now, his putter was not good at all today. He lost almost a half stroke to the field with the putter, yet still made six birdies. That's another guy I wouldn't be, you know, shy about betting on, because you would expect him to regress positively towards the mean. And with that history of making birdies on courses like this, I think Cantlay's still a good play.
Is there anyone that maybe has gotten off to a cold start, someone who's really disappointed you that you thought would perform better here in this tournament that might be a good luck in terms of finishing position going into round two?
Well, you know, Jordan Spieth surprised me. Justin Rose surprised me. Corey Connors is off to kind of a pedestrian start. I expected him to do well. Tommy Fleetwood, a lot of people liked him this week. You know, we've got a lot of golf to go, Adam. I would probably, even some of the guys I threw out here, only one round is in the books. I typically don't like to make in-game wagers on a golf tournament until 36 holes are in the books. Kind of see two rounds develop, and how are these guys looking? Because one round can be very random. What are they doing after 2 days? And let me assess at that point. The other thing to keep in mind is we don't have a cut. There's no 36-hole cut. So these guys are going to play for all 4 days. So that comes into the handicap as well. I'd be taking a look at Cantlay, Batia, Straka, and yeah, maybe even Ricky Fowler a little bit, 40-1. And Keith Mitchell, he's off to a great start. He just hasn't been able to finish. But Colin Morikawa, Rory, and McCarthy, those are the guys I'll be staying away from right now.
Brady Cannon and I spend a lot of time together here on Sports Grid Saturday and Sunday nights. I'll be on Game Time Decisions again tomorrow. Maybe Brady will too. For more from the Truist Championship, Brady, thank you, sir.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Want to thank all of our guests here on the show, most recently Brady Cannon talking about the Truist Championship. We had James Young as well as Andrew O'Connor Watts on the NBA, and of course Stanley Cup playoffs with Joe Madden earlier. I believe she is following us here on this program with Scott Wetzel for a couple hours, taking you through in-game live, and so that'll be fun. I think I'll be on with those guys late in the program as well, talk through some NBA, maybe right around halftime of that Timberwolves and Warriors game. We'll see if I'm right about all the things that I keep harping here on the show about how I expect Minnesota to roll, or maybe I will just continue to look stupid as I have every time I have talked about the Boston Celtics over the last, I don't know, 72 hours or so. But for the sake of mixing in a little bit of baseball, because we have not done that, of course, a lot of day baseball today, a lot of stuff that is already in the books. And so far, if you are a moneyline parlay investor, it's been a day for the favorites and potentially a good day for you. Earlier, we had the Twins coming back for a 5-2 win at home against Baltimore. The Red Sox with a 5-0 shutout of the Rangers. Two heavy, massive favorites with no resistance whatsoever on the part of the opposition. The Royals 10-0 shellacking of those lousy White Sox. 17 hits in that game for Kansas City. And Detroit well on its way of handing a couple of losses, a doubleheader sweep of the Colorado Rockies there in Denver. Tigers with a 10-2 win earlier in game one to drop Colorado to 6-30 on the year. And early scoring in this second game has Detroit now in the seventh inning up 8-1. So barring a massive comeback out of the Rockies, it's going to be a couple of free wins for the Tigers today with Colorado on the other side. It's going to bring Detroit, too, to 25-13. So the Tigers obviously having themselves a nice year. But once again, another favorite taking care of business. If you parlayed those together, maybe invested in Detroit with a doubleheader sweep today. Wouldn't have been a bad bet. You would have gotten it at, you know, just north of plus money as well. At the end of three, Tampa's just gotten on the board with a second run, and so the Rays at home are leading the Phillies 2-1. So that is an instance where the dog is in front at the moment. But again, a lot of baseball left in that one. It's going to the top of the fourth. The Reds and the Braves. Atlanta is holding a 1-0 lead, and that one is bottom three. Still two games to come. You have Toronto at LA, that is the Angels, and those Dodgers on the other side matching up with the Diamondbacks later in a game that, honestly, I mean, while I have enough respect for the Dodgers to believe they're going to win that game, Diamondbacks are frisky. I just think we're getting runs in that one. And I know Yamamoto has been tremendous this year. He has a sub-1 ERA. Brandon Pfaadt has been very solid as well, an ERA just above 3.5. Even still, I like runs. What I probably would do, though, is invest in the full game over and not the first five. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see the starting pitchers do a, you know, representative or better job here in this one to start off the game. And then the bullpens, things potentially get a little, you know, haywire. I mean, think back even to last night, the Dodgers, that was a scoreless game going into, what, the seventh inning? And then LA puts up a 7 spot and obviously wins the thing going away. So I'm not saying I'm projecting another 7-run inning or something like that, but I think late runs are certainly a possibility in that contest. And that one, you know, it's nighttime baseball, like true night baseball, at least if you're on the East Coast, because those games out West start in, at this point in time, a little less than 2 hours, been a little more than an hour and a half away. So, and the Blue Jays, you know, I just think Toronto wins this game. You know, it's a decent investment on the money line. You see it right there at minus 130, another favorite. It just gave the game away late, lost in extras last night. I tend to back teams, better teams, that are coming off of that situation where a game gets away from you and, you know, you're looking for a good opportunity to come on back and sort of right the ship. And in Toronto's case, get a 17th win of the year against an inferior Angels team on the other side. And plus, you got a solid pitcher in Chris Bassett on the mound, who has a sub-3 ERA. Not to take anything away from Soriano, he's been good, but Bassett obviously has been better. So that's what I would be looking to in that one. All eyes on this Phillies and Rays game as well. Probably a decent time to consider an in-game wager on Philadelphia to come back on the money line and win this game down by one in the fourth inning. But I want to thank everyone who obviously has been a part of this program. Sam and Kofsky, as well as who else? We have Bobby and Robert. A lot of everyone involved in this program. We will do it again for 90 minutes tomorrow night, coming up 6:30 Eastern. And like I said, in-game live game day to follow us. I am Adam Kaufman. Thanks so much for hanging out. Happy betting tonight. And for our wallets, go T-Wolves.